Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Yes, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to share with you a lot of information that you can use at your house right away. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my capable co-host, Mr. Joe Truini.
Thank you, Danny. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. Well, Danny, we made it to March here in New England. March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, supposedly. In South Alabama, where Danny lives, what is it? March comes in like a black and red fish, and it goes out. It goes out like a pineapple and mayonnaise sandwich, one of Danny's favorites. But regardless of where you live and what you're eating, chances are by the time spring rolls around later this month, we'll all be working on our outdoor projects. So if you have a question about your home or maybe your yard, get in touch with us. We'll see if we can help you out today.
Just any kind of challenge that you're having around your home, we want to help you out, and we make it as easy as we possibly can. One way, just pick up the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and call the Today's Homeowner Hotline. It's 800-946-4420. You know, if you don't want to leave your name or email address or anything, no problem. Just ask a question, and we'll get the information back to you as quickly as we can. Also, you can send us an email. A lot of people do that. We got a lot of great ones this week. And you can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Also, we'd love for you to visit us on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, as well as Facebook. Facebook's a great way to pick up some information anytime whatsoever, the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. And you can send us a message through Facebook as well. We got a number of very interesting conversations going there right now. So think about that when you're thinking about your home and things that you want to do in and around your home. So we've got a lot to share with you. And Joe, what about those personal projects you got around your house there? You know, when you start thinking of spring, even though it might not be feeling like spring there in the Northeast area, but what do you have up your sleeve? Some of the things that you're always planning something.
Well, yeah. Well, I had mentioned last week that I was working on building a new desk that I'm going to be moving into my new office. Right now, I'm working at a standard desk, but I bought one of those adjustable standing desks that you can set on top of a normal desk. And so I basically stand all day while I'm working and while I'm doing the radio show. But when I was building a new desk, I thought, well, I'll just build the desk 45 inches high. So I don't need a standing desk. I'll just build one. So that's what I'm in the middle of doing. In fact, I'm putting in the slide for the keyboard now. I went to buy keyboard slide hardware. You actually buy hardware. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the price and I thought, well, I'm not going to spend $80 or $90 for a slide hardware. So I had some full extension slides. So I'm just making one. I'm basically building a narrow drawer. Imagine a drawer that's only three mm-hmm. inches deep. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to flip it upside down and install it. And that'll work fine. Just hold my keyboard and it'll slide up under the desk. I'll just pull it out when I need it. So then I'm also working on what I often do at the end of winter is a lot of sort of maintenance projects or cleaning up after a long winter. We have a wood-burning stove, mm-hmm. not a wood-burning stove, a wood-burning fireplace. We don't have a stove. It is an open fireplace, which we love, and we use it pretty often all winter. And in the back, and I think this is pretty common, certainly common here in New England, in the back on the floor, the hearth, there's a little cast iron door that you open up and you push the ashes down there, and it goes down, in mm-hmm. our case, it goes down into the garage, uh-huh. and there's a little door, and you open up, and you vacuum it out. So I'll have to do, that's a job I don't particularly care to do, but so I think this is a good time of year where people are going to be maybe not doing spring cleaning yet, but certainly getting started on those spring projects.
Well, you know, talking about those stand-up desks, we were doing a project for the Today's Homeowner television show about a week ago.
Right.
And, actually was to do with a home office. So many people are still working out of their homes. And, you know, as we're reading more and more, that a lot of people are going to continue working in their homes because it's been productive for everybody. It's more of a flexible schedule. There's a lot of reasons that a lot of companies are just not requiring anybody to come back. But they did have one of the stand-up desks, but it was hydraulic.
Oh.
I guess it wasn't hydraulic, but it's just electric motor. Just push the button and it go up or down, up or down.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And they had a young daughter there that found those buttons, and she was having quite a fun time moving that thing up and down, up and down. So I could tell she had done that before. But that was a good project. Look forward to having that air on our Today's Homeowner television show real soon. Well, some of my projects around the house, I've been influenced by my 3 days at Disney World.
Oh, that's right. You took the grandkids to Disney World, right?
Yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Great weather. And, of course, I wore out all my shoes. I walked so much. And also my wallet was pretty bad there, too. But you know, one thing is they keep that place up no matter where you go. And so that's what I'm doing on some of my projects is influenced by Disney. I've been in my house now. This is my 2-year anniversary being in my home.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And but, you know, you have little things like in my bathroom, the baseboards, you know, banged up a little bit there. I guess we're mopping or whatever. So I thought, you know, perfect time to go ahead, make sure they're good and clean and put a fresh coat of paint on those. And then just go around with that paintbrush. You know how it is. You know, all of the trim is all the same color. So go around with that paintbrush. You can always find a little place here and a little place there to get it back up to what it looked like when I moved in. And, you know, that's one of those things that's hard to make yourself do. But that's just how my mind works, I guess. I'm just want to go back and make it look like it did when I first moved in, even though, you know, it was just me and my wife. It's not banged up too bad in there. My grandson's got a few marks here and there that he's left behind the way there. But
I'm sure he did.
But a few of those. Also, the raised beds. You know, I've got these great raised bed gardening things. So we're clearing out everything there, churning that soil up really, really good, and putting a few more amendments in it and getting that ready to plant. And my wife, Sharon, has some of the seeds and got little plants that she's got up about 5 or 6 inches. So all of that's ready to plant now. So a little bit of that's going to take place. So hopefully I can do some of the other things and she can do the actual planting. I kind of like the harvesting part. You know, the planting and the watering and all that just doesn't have as much gratification for me as going out there and picking all of the stuff. So I'll do that. Let her do the first part of it. See?
But she loves it. Sharon loves getting out there. First of all, it's a beautiful spot where Danny built this house and on a river. And yet in the front yard, we got those planters. I know Sharon loves going out there. Last time I was down there, I stole a couple of your kumquats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. We can't grow kumquats here in Connecticut. If anybody else knows what those are, they're very small oranges. It's the only citrus where the skin is sweeter than the fruit.
That's right.
The inside. Yeah. And the inside is really tart, which I like, but the outside is amazing how sweet that is. Imagine like the outside is sweet, but the inside. But anyway, those are delicious. And I was picking them by the handful. So if there's a big bare spot, Sharon can blame me. But I wanted to mention that when I heard you're going to Disney World, I found a couple of facts about Disney World that I thought was fascinating.
All right.
If you spent one night in each of the hotel rooms in Disney, it would take you 68 years to stay in every single room.
Oh, I believe it. I'm amazed at how large of a footprint that is. I also found out, I was wondering about the capacity because there were so many people there, I felt like they got to be reaching their capacity.
Right.
Just at the one Disney park, the Magic Kingdom, 90,000 is the capacity of that one park.
Were you close to that, do you think? Does it seem like was it pretty crowded?
I would probably guess it was in the neighborhood of 60 to 70.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They say right around the holidays is when it gets the most, but there's still plenty of people there.
Yeah, and you were talking about the cost of getting to Disney World. Last time I went, I was surprised how much it cost. But when you leave, you don't feel like you've been ripped off.
No, not at all. That's true.
You know, you really get your money's worth because it's so well maintained and there's so many people working there. When it opened, I think it opened in 1971, the opening day admission was $3.50.
Well, Joe, it has gone up a bit.
I think it went up. I think it's beyond the $5 mark.
Yeah,
isn't
I think
like
it's like
105.
$100. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's over $100. And nobody goes alone, right? So when you go, you usually with a family. So it winds up being like $500 or $600 a day. And this I saw, which I thought was really interesting. Disney World is the largest single site employer in the entire U.S.
Yeah, I think something like 26,000 acres or something like that. And they've got a little more room to go, but it is a busy, busy place.
Okay, one last thing. There are 200 pairs of sunglasses lost every day.
Oh, I believe that. Well, we had a great time at Disney, and it is well worth it. It is expensive, but a lot of fun, especially when you see the faces of those grandkids. That makes it all worthwhile. Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to be talking about the proper foundation for sheds, luxury vinyl tile problems. Now, what about the simple solution real quick, Joe?
All right, Danny, I've got a simple solution, an easy, accurate way to take inside measurements. You know, when you're measuring like in between two vertical surfaces, you have to bend the tape and try to figure out what exactly is that measurement. So I have a simple solution that'll get you that right measurement every time.
All right, we've got that and a whole lot more coming right at you here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree. The Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, which is heard coast to coast on some amazing stations, just like News Radio 560 KPQ, North Central Washington. Special hello to Dave Bernstein. Really appreciate you having us on the air, and we are so excited to be part of the 560 KPQ team. Look forward to helping anybody listening there with any question you might have about your home. You can give us a call at 800-946-4420 or send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going out to visit with Teresa out in California. Teresa, welcome to the show and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Hi. Well, I purchased one of the Lifetime sheds and the plastic ones. Mm-hmm. And I decided to put the wood foundation because they said you could either do cement or wood. And I was wondering if I should buy the treated wood or should I paint the wood? I noticed that it's kind of hard to find the plywood in treated. It doesn't look like it's available. I didn't even know. But it doesn't look like it is. So that's my question.
Okay, sure. You can find the treated plywood. Maybe it's a little harder, like everything seems a little harder nowadays to find for different materials that you need around your house. But you would want to go with all treated everything.
Okay.
And about how high off the ground do you think the actual floor will be?
Well, that was the other question, is they kind of say you can build it onto the ground, but I was going to put it up on deck blocks. So
okay.
I think those are about four. That was my other question, is if I should put it on the deck blocks.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we have a situation here in that Joe Truini wrote one of the best shed books in America. He did a lot of research on it. And so I'm going to let Joe answer that part of the question because he's the one that knows. Joe knows. Get it? Go.
I get that. All right, Teresa. Well, Danny's right. You should only use pressure treated lumber anywhere near the ground, whether it's on concrete blocks or not. The whole floor frame should be, meaning the joists, the perimeter joists, the floor joists, should all be pressure treated lumber. You can get away with just standard plywood for the floor if it's up off the ground, but I would recommend if you can get the pressure treated, you can get it in square edge, you can get it tongue and groove. It's not cheap. You want 3/4 inch. Home Depot sells one that's called underlayment pressure treated plywood. It's tongue and groove. It's probably about $75 a sheet if you can even find it. But
yeah.
How big is this shed? You might not need too many.
It's
how many?
12.5 by 8.
12.5 by 8. All right, so you wouldn't need that much, but even if you use square edge as opposed to tongue and groove plywood, that would be fine. As far as staining it, I wouldn't, if it's pressure treated, if you're going to put any finish on it, I would stain it. I would not paint it.
Okay.
But for the understructure, you're not going to see it anyway. There's no real reason to stain it. If you want a little extra protection, you can get some clear wood preservative.
Oh.
Water repellent wood preservative, but again, if it's up off the ground at least 4 or 5 inches so that air can circulate under the shed, I don't think you really even need to stain it at that point.
Okay. I know how you always say to paint like your trim before you put it up. So
right, exactly.
But not in this case.
Yeah, if you were going to stain it, Wouldn't recommend painting it, but if you were going to stain it or put a clear preservative, then yes, absolutely do it before you build it, and especially any fresh cut ends, because when you cut a pressure treated piece of lumber, the pressure treated chemicals don't soak all the way to the center. So when you cut it, you know, it's always a good idea to treat those cut ends, those freshly cut ends.
And Teresa, I wanted to ask you, have you already assembled the shed, or you still have it in the box?
It says not to assemble it until you have your foundation, because...
Good. That's what I thought.
Well, yeah, apparently it has to be super level.
Well, be very patient. There are a lot of parts in that box there, and I have assembled one of these before. Once you get in the groove, it goes pretty quickly, but it can be a little overwhelming right at the very start there. Just make sure you have a good socket set, and if you have a cordless drill, a lot of times using it with your sockets will kind of speed up the process a little bit, but just relax, put you some nice music on so that you can know that you're going to spend a little time on it.
Okay. All right. Be patient, huh?
Well, exactly. Teresa, thanks so much for being part of the show, and we appreciate you calling us. And if we can help you any other way, let us know. And best of luck on putting that shed together.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your show.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate you. Thank you. All right, well, let's go to our emails right now. If you'd like to send us one, you can send us one at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Sheila in Gastonia, North Carolina. Hi, Danny. I saw an episode of your TV show where you repaired an exterior door using some type of car putty or car compound. However, I didn't get to see the whole episode, so I'm not sure exactly what you did and which products you used. Could you please repeat the process? Thanks. I listen to your radio show every weekend. Thanks in advance. Well, Sheila, we appreciate you listening to the show, and I hope you're listening right now. Well, what you're talking about is something that we have used for many, many years, and it's actually referred to more as its brand name than anything else, and that's Bondo. And it's an automobile body repair. It's an epoxy material that you have a putty and in the can, and you have a small tube of hardener, and you put just a few drops there, mix it up really, really well in little batches at a time, because it does dry very quickly. Then you can use a plastic trowel or putty knife to apply it, and you can just take your time, get it nice and smooth. Sometimes it requires a couple coats. Then within just a few minutes, you can use your sander or sanding block and sand it down so that it just evens it right out. Now, this works great in a lot of different situations, but never use it in a structural situation like a, you know, where you have maybe a rotted column or something along those lines. But a lot of other things, it can buy you a little more time before you have to buy that new door or that new trim, and it does work very, very well. We've used that quite a bit, but you can, at the home center, you can also see it as an epoxy putty, so they're making a version of it for the home use, or you can just drop by the auto parts store and pick up Bondo there as well. Let's get another email here. We're having an opportunity to catch up on a lot of our emails. This one from Brian says, I'm looking for an easy, affordable way to insulate the walls and doors of an old detached cinder block garage. What do you suggest? Well, you know, it's almost impossible to pour that, you know, vermiculite or cellulose or anything like that inside the blocks, even if you can get to it. Now, when they do new construction and they're stacking the blocks vertically, and a lot of times you can pour the material down in there to provide that insulation, but existing block walls generally are staggered, making it almost impossible to do that. So I think the best choice there is to make sure those walls are good and clean, make sure no moisture is getting through those walls, and then I would just say gluing foam to the inside of those walls is about as good as you can do. And heck, you can get that foam, you know, an inch and a half, something like that, if your electrical outlets will allow it and any other returns that you have in the rooms will allow it. But that'll certainly seal up and make that cinder block garage a little cozy, maybe a little extreme for a garage.
Yeah, you just want to make sure the walls are dry. You know, Brian doesn't mention, but if the walls aren't almost bone dry, then, you know, I'd be concerned about fastening, covering it up at all. But you can get, what is it, Dry Lock makes a couple of great products. There's one called, I think, Dry Lock Extreme, and that will seal any moisture. If it's water pouring through the wall, then, you know, that's another issue. The wall has problems. But if you can, I would seal it first, then do the foam board. And you can even put up vertical 2x4s flat against the wall, infill between them with 1.5 inch thick rigid polystyrene. And then at that point, you can go over it if you want to make it a more finished wall, you know, maybe with some CDX plywood, exterior grade plywood, something like that, give you a nice rigid surface and a nice surface you can then paint, and it's pretty durable and you can fasten things to it pretty easily. But again, that's the secret, is to make sure that wall isn't leaking water.
All right, we're just a few minutes into the show here this week, and we already have covered a lot of different areas of the home. Coming up, we're going to look at something that we're hearing a little bit too often about, and that is problems with LVT, luxury vinyl tile. If you're having problems with it, stay tuned. We hopefully will have a little solution for your problem floor. All of that and a lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. We're brought to you by Tight Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, if you've painted the inside of your home before, you know the frustrations. The walls just don't stay looking new for very long because of scuffs or stains generated by those active children or maybe some of the pets. Now, you have to apply multiple coats to cover up what's already on the walls, and the paint takes forever to dry, so picture frames and doors can stick to the paint, creating even more of a mess. That's why Behr has introduced the Dynasty line of interior stain blocking paint and primer. It features their most advanced stain resiliency and scuff resistance to keep the surfaces of your project looking newer longer, and it's guaranteed to hide in just one coat, and it's available in over 1,000 colors. Plus, the fast drying formula can get you back to using your spaces a lot quicker without tacky surfaces because it cures just after 4 hours, so drawers and doors don't stick together. So if you have a busy home that needs painting, this is a must-have. You can find out more about Behr Dynasty Interior Stain Blocking Paint and Primer by going to HomeDepot.com. They're always working on those paints, trying to improve them more and more, and you know, maybe they've gotten that figured out pretty well, and it sounds like a great way to go so that you're not having to put multiple coats on. Right now, let's go back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Judy is on with us from Florida. Judy, welcome to the show, and tell us about the LVT floor you have there and what kind of problems you're having.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm in Florida, and my house is a concrete slab, has a concrete slab floor. It was built in 74. We had laminate in it, and when the dishwasher leaked, it spoiled the laminate, so we put in the LVT flooring. It looked great in the beginning, but I started noticing the edges lifting both on the sides and the ends, and it's gotten worse. The center part of my house is like an open concept, dining room, living room, kitchen, everything, and about two-thirds of it or more is showing damage.
And it's been down a couple years.
Yes, a couple years.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, traditionally, the LVT is very, very resilient, holds up very well, kind of repels moisture problems and things like that. But like any flooring or any building materials, you have a lot of different grades. Some is a little bit better than others. And, you know, of course, the more inferior type does have a tendency to, you know, be affected by the moisture more. But Joe, what do you think of this? We've certainly dealt with a lot of a luxury vinyl tile issues. Do you think that this is an issue that might be moisture related, or do you think it might be just the product itself?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Judy. Going over a concrete slab, even if someone takes a test, a moisture test reading at the time that they're there, that doesn't mean that the floor is not going to be have moisture coming through it, you know, a month later or a year later or whenever, you know, depending on, you know, the change of the seasons. Now, this floor, do you know if it's been glued down or is it a floating floor? Is it just snapped together?
It's floating.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably part of the issue as well. But as Danny said, there are several grades as far as quality of flooring. And better floors have stabilizers in them, and these stabilizers help prevent the floor from moving when it's not supposed to move. So maybe your floor doesn't have as many stabilizers as the high quality stabilizers that it should have. But concrete substrates, the slab you're on, they always contain moisture. It's just a matter if the moisture is high enough to cause a problem. If it is, that moisture can affect the plasticizers, which are basically plastic components in the vinyl, and the moisture in any alkaline that's in the moisture as well from the concrete changes the material. It changes the composition of that vinyl in the plasticizers, more importantly, in the vinyl. And that's what causes stress on the vinyl. So you might have curling or cupping, the little lift, the edges, the long edges will sometimes lift up. So, all right, so that let's say that's the issue. So now what do you do?
Right.
I mean, I hate to say you have to either live with this floor or take it up, but I would certainly live with it through a couple of seasons and see if maybe when spring and summer comes, maybe they'll flatten out. I'm not sure. And if that happens, what happens next winter? Does it start being a problem again? Is there any kind of warranty? I guess not after 2 years, it wouldn't be a warranty.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry to, I mean, you know, this floor, at first the dishwasher ruined your laminate floor, and now you have a new vinyl floor that's giving you problems. Might be time to go to tile. Judy, I'd hate to say that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this way, you know, once it's mortared down, you know, put down an uncoupling membrane and put down, you know, mortar down a nice porcelain floor. But that, of course, would be a huge expense. But it is, that's the reason you see so many tile floors in Florida, right?
Right. I hate to put in tile because it's so hard on your feet and your back.
It is, yeah, especially in a kitchen where you're standing all the time. You have to put down some kind of cushioned runner, you know, in front of the cabinets.
What would you think of sheet vinyl? Is that an option?
Yeah, sheet vinyl. They actually make sheet vinyl now, a high-quality sheet vinyl that's thick, and it's just a floating floor. You don't have to glue it down. You used to have to glue it down entirely. Then they came out perimeter bonded, meaning you just had to glue down around the perimeter of the room. Now you don't have to do any of that. You just lay it. It's almost like an area rug, and it's held in place by the shoe molding or the baseboard molding around it. So I'd certainly check that out. But you would have to take up this floor if it's not perfectly flat.
Right. No, with all the little raised edges, it's not perfectly flat.
Well, Judy, we certainly wish we could give you a more upbeat answer than that. But as Joe said, maybe give it a couple years and see if things get better on it. And if not, then maybe make that change to vinyl. And we know that'll last a long time.
Right. So if I'd had the test done, it probably wouldn't have been perfect. I mean, it might not have stayed that rating.
Exactly.
If I had put down an underlayment, would that have helped me?
I haven't installed many vinyl floors lately, so I'm not sure. Are there even underlayments for vinyl flooring? I'm not sure.
I don't really know either, but certainly you could seal the floor. The floor could be completely sealed with a masonry sealer so that you're not having that problem,
okay,
you know, with any other floor that you have. Because you really don't want the moisture from migrating up there. But
no.
If you do have to replace the floor, then you would want to make that step to where you're really sealing the floor very, very well.
Seal it. Okay, well, that's really good to know. And I appreciate the information and the advice. Thank you.
Our pleasure, Judy. Wish we could have given you a little brighter information there. But thanks so much for being with us, and hope you have a great weekend. Always hate that, Joe, when you have a situation, seeing the pictures that Judy sent in. We really hate to give, you know, news like that, but we're going to always shoot you straight, even though it sometimes is hard news to deliver. But I'm afraid she's going to be looking at a new floor at some point.
And all of that because of dishwasher leak.
Yeah.
How many times have we said, you know, you have to be really careful with any plumbing? Because this poor woman is not going through what's going to be a third floor.
Right, I know.
All because a dishwasher sprung a leak somewhere along the way.
Yeah, we certainly hate that. Hey, you know, one thing we do like a lot is to hear from listeners that have tricks and tips that'll make something that you do around your home a little easier. When we come back, we have a friend down in Florida named Mark that's going to share a special tip with us. So you'll want to hear this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust TiteBond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Titebond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Titebond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal-clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit DuckBrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Gutterbrush is a simple gutter guard I've recommended for years. It's easy. Just slide 3-foot sections of Gutterbrush into your gutters and leave them there year-round to keep gutters flowing. Right now they're having their big fall sale, 25% off and free shipping with code DANNY when you order direct at gutterbrush.com. Most homes are protected for just $200 to $300. Visit gutterbrush.com or call 888-397-9433 to get free shipping and 25% off with code DANNY. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com. And welcome back to the show. I can tell you one thing. We have some of the greatest listeners of any radio show anywhere. Joe, that's no surprise to you. Every week, we're so privileged to be able to talk to, you know, just some great people that are real home enthusiasts. And we're about to be joined by one right now. Mark is in Florida. He's known around there as my buddy Mark with his handyman service and so forth. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for being with us on the show today. And tell us what's going on around your place there.
Not much. I'm retired, but I still paint because Social Security don't really cut it.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
I'm doing well for myself. I'm going to be 68, like I said. I listen to you every weekend, every Saturday.
Good, good, good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like I have to listen. Otherwise, something's wrong.
I wish everybody felt that way. So you've been painting a while, so you have a tip to help us out on painting doors.
Here's my trick.
Okay.
You need 3 3-inch screws.
All right.
On the very top of the door or the bottom, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the face of the door, but on the jamb part of the door.
Okay.
You put a 3-inch screw roughly in the center, one in the center, and put it in about 1.5 inches. That leaves 1.5 inches of the screw sticking out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, on the other side, the bottom part of the door or the top, it don't matter, about 4 inches in, you don't have to measure, put 2 3-inch screws in the door, and then leave them sticking out 1.5 inches. Then what you do is you put the door on your horses, resting on the screws.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And then paint one side. Then what you do is simply grab the 2 screws, flip the door over, because it's sitting on the 3rd screw, and then you can paint the other side without wasting any time or damaging your fine paint job that you did on the other.
Well, I tell you what, painting a door horizontally like that is, to me, is, of course, a heck of a lot easier, and you can see it better and reach everything a lot better, but that works out pretty good. So you just grab those 2 screws and use the other almost as a pivot point.
Correct.
To rotate it around to paint the other side so that you're not having to wait for paint to dry, as you say.
Correct, and it doesn't touch anything, and you can use it on interior doors, exterior doors. Usually an exterior door has a color on the outside and a different color on the inside.
Uh-huh.
It works just as well.
There you go. Well, when you do a lot of painting and try to make a little money along the way, you learn these kind of tricks, and this will certainly help out a lot of our listeners that may be about to approach the same kind of project. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, Mark, and I certainly appreciate you listening every week on WPLK there in Palatka, Florida. We appreciate that, and hope everything continues to go well for you.
Well, thank you very much, and like I say, I'm here for you guys. I listen all the time. Most of this stuff I know, but I learn a lot, so there you go.
All right.
I appreciate talking to you. You guys are awesome, and you have a great day.
Okay, you as well, Mark, and join us again sometime here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Joe, I'll tell you, it's always great to get, share some tips from people like that. We encourage you, if you have a tip that's worked well for you, just like Mark there in Florida, give us a call at 800-946-4420, and you can leave us a recording, tell us a tip, or tell us how we can get in touch with you so that you can be here on the air with us. And, of course, you can always send an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Joe, we've talked many, many times about how many painting tips are out there.
That's right.
And how, we could write a book about that. We've got a lot of books we have to write. Let's see. We have to
write. I
like
the way you say we.
Yeah, we. See, we got a lot of books we got to write. We got to put together the five-volume edition of the best Simple Solutions. That's one. And then painting tips. Let's see. Oh, the old pool noodle book. We got that. we've got to do. And then spend quality time with white vinegar. We got that one.
That's right.
a little mystery thing that we want to do. So, yeah, we got a lot of different books that we can write along those lines.
Yeah. And I've often said of all the simple solutions, probably more painting simple solutions than any. And which makes sense because there's a lot of ways to paint, and most people are looking for a quick way, but also a neat way. It's very easy to make a mess painting. And and painting is a kind of job most people do themselves. You can always hire a pro, of course, but a lot of people do their own painting, but maybe not so many people. We might have several tips on framing a wood wall, but maybe there aren't that many people who frame wood walls, but certainly everybody paints. So yeah, if you're looking for painting tips, go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. You'll find dozens and dozens of painting tips, very much like the one Mark just told us about.
That's exactly right. Now, speaking of simple solution, that's what's coming up next, right after our break. Joe, give us just a little tease on this.
How to make accurate inside measurements when using a tape measure.
All right. Well, good. Well, those tape measures have those bends in them, and also the newer ones, that are so thick,
right,
makes it even harder in that situation. So I look forward to hearing that simple solution coming up. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In With Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, one of my favorite parts and yours as well, is our simple solution, which is brought to you every week by my buddy, Joe Truini. Joe, what do you have this week?
All right, Danny, taking inside measurements with a measuring tape requires you to bend the tape and then make a educated but not always accurate guess at what the distance is between the two surfaces. So here's an easy, accurate way to take inside measurements. Use a binder clip, one of those metal binder clips, to clamp a credit card onto the tape measure. And then when you take the measurement, simply slide the card up against the inside surface, and now remove the tape. And when you straighten out the tape, just read the dimension right where the tape crosses the edge of the credit card. And that'll be the exact inside dimension. Got that?
That's pretty good. I can envision that. So it's a little hard to think about it, but I can see exactly what you're talking about and clamping it and seeing exactly.
Right.
I could have used that yesterday when I was measuring some columns, you know,
okay.
And you have measuring under the beam and down. And
right.
I got it, and I just made my best guess on it, and I just took some aviation shears and just cut the tape in half. And then I held it up. I said, well, that's it then.
But I
had four columns and four 25-foot tapes I cut in half.
Good,
so,
yeah.
You know, but I got an accurate cut on it, and the columns look great.
Danny believes in, I cut it twice, and it's still too short. That's the way he works.
Well, that's great, and we have the video out on that.
Yeah, right now. You can go to the website and see that. That's right.
Today'sHomeowner.com. Those are good, though, Joe, because that's one of those things. That's a perfect example of a good, simple solution, because it's something that just kind of plagues you, and you kind of get used to, okay, well, I got to round up an eighth of an inch on that, or most often you just cut it too long,
right?
Because you don't want to have to, you know, do something. And if you got a 6x6 column like I had, you
right.
really don't want to cut it more than once.
Well, I'll share another simple solution that I've used several times, including most recently, to get an accurate inside dimension with just the tape measure, is I'll measure, let's say it's about 3 foot wide, the inside between like door jams or window jams, whatever. I'll measure it and I'll make a mark at some really like a whole dimension, like let's say at 30 inches. I'll just make a perfectly square little line there. So that's 30 inches. Then I measure from the other end. And then let's say it's 4.5. Then you know it's exactly 34.5.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking those two dimensions.
Yeah.
And that's pretty accurate.
I remember when I was just starting to learn a lot of the tricks and ways of doing carpentry work and a lot of repairs and so forth, I was working with a gentleman that was like, he was 70 years old, something like that, and old Mr. Vic. And
right.
This guy was a real slender guy, wore those old overalls. He was probably 6'5", something like that.
Wow.
Probably weighed 110 pounds. But he was so efficient in every single thing he did. Never got in a hurry, but every move he made, he would take that wood, put it on the sawhorse, he would cut it, go right into where what we were doing, and never wasted any movement at all. I learned a tremendous amount from that guy. One thing I do now, every time I pick up a handsaw, which nowadays, you know, you don't really use handsaws that much, but every now and then you have, you know,
sure.
something that you want to cut without hooking up your saw, and to point your finger.
Along the side of the handle, right.
And then he said, just point that finger right at that line while you're sawing, and you will cut it right on the line. I'm telling you, I mean, that was just like, man, I can conquer the world now with this. And, you know, and those kind of little things is what really hooks you into this type of thing. But I want to share with you right now something that you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show right now. Spring is right around the corner, so developing those outdoor living areas is really a big thing on a lot of people's list. And on the show this weekend, you'll see an example of how we took an existing patio area that was kind of sad looking. The plants were not doing very well. The homeowners didn't use the area very much because it was pretty hot out there. Well, within 3 days, we completely transformed this area. And some of the ideas that you'll see there are things that you might be able to use around your house. Go to todayshomeowner.com right now to find out where you can see it in your area. Well, that's going to wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Certainly glad you spent some of your busy weekend with us here at Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We'll see you soon.